This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The Craig Hill Show on EEI. It's Bruins Thursday on WEEI.
That's the reason Boston fans get skittish.
And it's time for the most feared hockey analyst in America.
Tukaras sucked. I'm telling you, there isn't a trophy in my ass. That was bad.
Former Beast defenseman and head coach Mike Melberry.
The hit by Torrey Krug on Robert Thomas was just thunderous.
Right now on the Craig Hill Morning Show.
Open the season Saturday night at the Garden, and throughout this NHL season, every Thursday, it is a Bruins Thursday here at WEEI, and that means you can hear Mike Milbury on this program, and Andrew Razor Raycroft on Gresham Keefe, and Jack Edwards with Lou and Christian in the afternoon, and we are anxiously awaiting the arrival of Mike Milbury. Curtis, what happened? I saw him on the phone earlier. Where did Mike Milbury go?
I said we were just started a break. Oh, here he is. And he said he would wait and call back. So here he is.
All right. Mike Milbury will join us momentarily. A reminder that the front office report coming up at 9 when it comes to your Boston Red Sox. But Mike Milbury, welcome back to the show and back to broadcasting, if you could call it that, or journalism, whatever we call it here. How are you?
Well, whatever it is, I'll be happy to be part of it.
Well, we're glad you're a part of it. I wanted to start with something that we discussed during the 6 o'clock hour, and that is a deal for Charlie McAvoy, and Wiggy suggesting that he is hearing that Charlie McAvoy is looking for north of $9 million a year. Cam Neely suggested that they're talking about that deal. Don Sweeney maybe appeared to be caught off guard by that. Would you give Charlie McAvoy over $9 million bucks a year?
In a heartbeat. Okay. He is the rock of your defense. He's going to be the rock of your defense for years. He's going to be, if he ever gets to free agency, there'll be just a host of teams in the league drooling to get him. Sign him up long term and hope he stays healthy. That's my philosophy on that. This guy is a hell of a player, and coming into his prime, he's going to be one of your top three or four players for the next decade.
And I'm guessing that $9 million number that he's looking for, $9 million plus, is because of that Dougie Hamilton deal.
Well, it doesn't matter what deal. This guy is, he's already at somewhere around $7 million, correct? So I don't think there's, you know, this is a superstar in the making. I don't have any doubt that he's going to be, he's going to have to compensate him at a level of the top 5, 6, 7, 10 defensemen in the league.
I think shockingly, he's making 5. Ken, am I right about that?
Yeah,
is it
5?
Yeah, he's making 5. So,
well, that doesn't matter. I thought he was back ended on this contract, but notwithstanding, he's in a position now to command $9 million, and I think they're going to have to yield to that.
Mike, when you look at the goalie situation, I think there's going to be an issue down the road, because a lot of people are talking about possibly Tuukka Rask returning, but you're paying Linus $5 million a year, and then you got Swayman. Do you see this potentially being an issue? Because I don't see Tuukka coming back here just to open doors or be a practice goalie?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Despite the fact that everybody's, not everybody, but a lot of people have trouble warming up to Tuukka Rask. He's a great goaltender and a pretty good teammate. And he's sitting there on the sidelines waiting for, you know, himself to get rehabbed and then back into a position where he can play, and saying things like, I'll play for the minimum. So the Bruins have a guy like that in the wings, but in the meantime, Swayman has outplayed Ullmark and looks to be, to me, the guy to go with, to start with. And Ullmark is going to have to play himself into shape and challenge Swayman. But all in all, three good goalies or prospective goaltenders, even if Swayman is sort of unproven, puts them in a pretty good position. But you're right, three's a crowd when it comes to goaltending.
But going into the regular season, you feel like Swayman is the guy to go with.
I think so. I think everybody, he's really calm. He plays pretty big in net, and seems to have the kind of confidence that you want in a goaltender. And, you know, all things considered, it looks like Omar's been a little bit leaky. Didn't play a lot last year, had to rehab a lot, so may take him some time. But I think they should be fine in goal. And the monkey wrench comes when Rask calls Don Sweeney and says, I want to come back.
Well, was that a bad move then to give this guy $5 million a year to basically be the backup?
Well, I don't know if anybody knew what Tuukka Rask was thinking at that particular time. So what he did is solidify the position, gives himself an insurance policy, and if this works out, he doesn't have to re-sign Rask if Swayman and Ullmark are getting the job done and playing great goaltending for the Bruins, and that leaves Tuukka out, but they do have that insurance policy in their back pocket, and that's not a bad thing.
Mike, David Krejci goes home to the Czech Republic, and we're still talking about him, it feels like, every week. Cam Neely said the door's still open. Do you think there is any chance that he would come back and play for the Bees?
There obviously is a chance, but you've hit on the major component that concerns me for the Bruins. I don't think Charlie Coyle is a second-line center. He had one year when he had 56 points, and that was his highlight. He hasn't come close to that since. Can playing with Taylor Hall and Smith make a difference for him? Maybe, but this is a puck protection guy. He goes down low, protects the puck, you know, fends people off, and then tries to take it to the net. He's not a distributor of the puck like Krejci was. Krejci could find Hall on the fly in a heartbeat, one of the great passes in the game, and they're going to miss him. I would have liked to have seen Stadnica given a much better chance at that second-line position, because I think they're going to wind up going to him eventually. And I think early on it would have been a better opportunity for Stadnica to sort of spread his wings.
By the way, Mike, that was Courtney, a woman, who hit on that great point.
Yeah,
I just want to point out.
Thank you, Mike. Great answer.
They can do other things.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It really is. But to that point, Mike, when it comes to Taylor Hall and Krejci, do you think that this is going to hurt Taylor Hall's season? I think a lot of people were worried about, because people were so high on him after last season. Will this hurt him with Krejci gone, or do you think he can still progress?
I think it will hurt him, because here's a guy that utilizes outstanding speed and needs to be given the puck in the proper position. Now, Charlie Coyle may, you know, change my mind after a couple of weeks and find out how to do it, but that is not his strength. He plays so well in the offensive zone in the corners and can play against big men, but, you know, what you want from a centerman, a true second-line centerman or top-line centerman like Bergeron, is the ability to go left to right with it at the right time to a guy who's got some speed on either side of him.
Speaking of Taylor Hall, do you feel like the Sabres have mishandled the Eichel situation up there?
They're a freaking mess. I mean, they've been a mess for decades now, and they can't quite figure it out. Their drafting has been poor. Their choices of coaches have been poor. Have they mishandled it? Clearly they have. And I don't know where Eichel is on this thing. He doesn't seem to have handled it well himself. In fact, if I were him, I never would have signed that contract for a gazillion years to play in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Have you been there lately?
Mike, any chance you talk about Charlie Coyle, your sentiment for that second line and basically Taylor Hall, do you see them, the Bruins, potentially maybe making a move before the trade deadline to add something to that second line sentiment?
Well, I think they're going to they're going to give this experiment a go and see where it lands. My guess is it's going to be a failed experiment, and maybe they go to Stadnicka and see if he can become the guy that works with Smith and Hall at that particular point. I'm not worried about the rest of the offensive lineup, by the way. The third and fourth line looks like they're going to be just fine, and the top line is as good as any in the league. It's this second line that's got to produce offensively that has me worried, and the choice of personnel here is questionable. But this time will tell, and Coyle's got a lot of pressure on him right now.
Well, when it comes to the D and Carlo, you feel like you need him. You got to have him. He's had, four concussions?
Yeah. You guys were up earlier actually thinking and asking reasonable questions. I didn't expect that from you. It's Carlo's time to step up. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to play big minutes. McAvoy's there. He can anchor up here. Grizzlick's there. He certainly could anchor up here. But after that, you know, you're looking at guys like Riley and John Moore and Zboril. Those guys are not going to carry the load. So somebody needs to step up this season on the blue line. And for me, that guy is Carlo. He can be big and strong and physical. Doesn't have to add a lot offensively, but needs to be sound defensively whenever he's on the ice.
Just going back to the Jack Eichel situation, I just find that fascinating that a player can try to figure out what they want to do when it comes to an injury, whether they want to get surgery or not, what type of surgery, and training staff can go against it. Do you see this a lot throughout the league? Is this common that there's this strain of a relationship between the training staff and a player and what they want to do?
You know, my history with training staff in the league is that, and both in New York and in Boston, was the medical people are so good. They're so good. And if you have any questions about the medical people, they have other people that you can go to. I don't know how it comes to this. Can't be that much difference between one doctor's analysis and diagnosis and another doctor's diagnosis. It seems really weird to me. I haven't seen anything really like this in a very long time. And most of the time, these teams have doctors that are at the peak of their profession. And it's curious to me that they can't sort their way through it.
Mike, who's your favorite in the East heading into opening week?
Well, you can't look past Tampa Bay. They managed to put two championship seasons together, and there's, you know, the only thing going against them is they played an awful lot of hockey, and you know they've lost a couple of players along the way, but I don't see any reason why they can't compete at the top level.
Well, yeah, you can do that. I mean, if you're $20 million over the cap and you find ways to manipulate it, you could do that.
Well, that's true. But I still think I'm kind of very curious to see what New Jersey does with some pretty good young players. Florida seems to be a team to keep your eye on with a great coach. Those are a couple. I don't think they're going to compete for a championship, but at least it's something to hold my interest.
Mike, as fans around here, we're very impatient, and we look at what franchises and organizations have done through their time. And I think two guys that, in my opinion, they may be on the hot seat, people don't like to hear it, could be Cam Neely and Don Sweeney. Because when you look at the Bruins, they've won one Stanley Cup, especially in Cam Neely's tenure here. Do you think the pressure is adding up to potentially get to the point where if they don't win another one here shortly, that he could be out?
No, I don't think that at all. They've been consistently in the mix to win a Stanley Cup. It's really hard, Wiggy. You know it. It's hard to win a championship, and it's hard to win, harder still, of course, to put together a streak like Tampa's in right now. But I think they've been so consistently competitive and flirting with it that I don't see any reason that they would be anywhere near the hot seat at this particular juncture. There is going to come a time here in the next little while when they have to face the ultimate retirement of Patrice Bergeron. And that's going to prove to be a gaping hole, and how they deal with that may prove to be problematic for them. But until such time, this guy anchors to one of the best lines in hockey. He's one of the surefire first ballot Hall of Famer for me. And until he decides to hang it up, these guys are going to be competitive.
Wiggy's next question was going to be if you think Cam Newton should be given a shot at centering the second line.
Listen, Evan, as an MVP of a men's beer league, I kind of know the game a little bit.
Hey, Mike, speaking of Bergeron.
If Cam Newton's going to get a chance with the Bruins, it's about the only team that's going to give him a try.
In any sport. You're right about that. Yes.
Speaking of Bergeron, Mike, since you're not high on Coyle, would you consider moving him?
Don't get me wrong there. I love Charlie Coyle as a player. I think he's a terrific player. And I think he's the ultimate third-line center. It's just that you give a guy a role that he can handle. And this is a role that he's going to have to handle quite a bit differently than as a third-line player.
Well, would you ever consider splitting up Marchand and Bergeron? Obviously, they're great together. But if you need to spread the wealth a little bit, it seems like they have an agreement to never touch that line. Do you agree with that?
That seems to be the case. But when Krejci was there, there wasn't poor David Krejci for years had to get second-best wingers because they wanted to put Bergeron with the best wingers, and it seemed a little unfair. I mean, Krejci, lest I remind you, led the playoffs in the postseason twice in points, and that's an accomplishment very few guys have reached. So, I mean, for me, breaking them up is a possibility. It's always there, but right now they can afford the luxury of trying Coyle there and maybe Studnick or somebody else along the way, but that top line is, despite the fact that everybody knows that they're going to be the team to the line to play against when you play Boston, they still seem to get it done. It's pretty remarkable. You know, if you're in any other sport and you line up and say, this is the group we've got to stop, and somehow these guys can't be stopped. It's remarkable.
I hesitate to bring this guy up because he wanted to beat me up at the Squire for something I said about him on the radio, but Mike, would you agree
Bob
that when it comes to pressure and to living up to what you're being paid, would you agree that there is a considerable amount of that pressure on Jake DeBrusk?
Yeah, speaking of getting paid, I'm way past 10 minutes. Do I get overtime for this?
Well, you're working for gift certificates, which is odd. Yeah, right. I mean, I understand you're trying to get back in the biz, but
the budget here.
We're gonna send an edible arrangement over for the extra 5 minutes after we're done.
All right. No, DeBrusk obviously has pressure. He was really disappointing last year. Here's a guy that's now dropped down to a third line situation, but with Holla and Foligno, two pretty good players, this should be a dangerous line, and I like the position that DeBrusk is in. Pressure's off a little bit. He can play a little more loosey-goosey, and I think it should be good for him. It's up to him to take advantage of the situation. Time will tell.
All right, Mike Milbury. Well, could not be more excited that you will join us every Thursday during this NHL season. We appreciate it, and go Bees.
All right. Take care, guys. See you next week.
All right. There you have Mike Milbury.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.